What up, chingona?
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin'?
Bottles.
Bottles of beer?
In the apartment, not the club.
Bottles in the apartment. Definitely not the club, because that's too expensive. And
yeah.
We always ballin' on a budget.
Dude, we haven't recorded in a good month.
Wait, what?
We haven't recorded in a month.
All of Pride we didn't record. How fake are we?
We're busy being gay.
Like, how bad of gays are we that in all of Pride we didn't even see each
That's
other?
That's why.
Wait, no, we saw
did.
Each other.
We did at a gay club. We
at
win.
A gay club.
Done.
So look at that. Look
we
at
did
that.
It. All right.
Queer gods, we did right.
Queer gods.
We hung out.
AKA the Lord for me. The Lord with the E at the end.
Is she even queer? Do we count her?
I count her in my heart.
I do too because of her curly hair, but you know what? Nah.
I don't count her as a queer. I count her as a queer god. It's different.
But can we have queer gods that aren't queer?
We don't know yet. We don't know what she is.
Important questions to ask.
I don't know. She had a song where she said something queer, but that wasn't queer. But I feel like
it's wait, what? Queer. No. Now you have to tell me. Now
okay,
you well, know.
In that song, Liability, she says what the fuck she says. She says going something about going home to the only girl like who loves me. I don't know. I forgot the fucking lyrics.
Oh my god! Google that.
No, I mean I memorized the song, but I can't
Google
remember
it,
like
it,
right
Loca.
Now. The point is that it's queer not queer because she kind of like makes it she's talking about a girl that she loves but it's actually herself.
Oh yeah, okay, that's not queer, that's
it's
just
code
like...
it's code. She's young, she's getting there, she'll get there.
So you think she's gonna grow into her gayness? Do
yeah,
you think that's
I
how
did.
This works as
I
a
did.
queer? Do you think that's how gayness works?
Yeah, you have to accept it, you have to work towards it.
Do you think that's what Lord's doing right now?
We'll find out
Pending. I just love her hair.
I just think she's great.
Okay, so what have you been up to?
Well, I've been in this apartment for like 24 hours or something like that. Maybe, yeah, almost 24 hours.
With her lovely Brandon. Shout out to Brandon.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah. Anyways.
What was that? You went, meh. Okay,
because he hasn't listened to our other podcast, so I'm a little peeved.
It's okay. He always hears them live, so we gotta cut
no,
him
he
some
didn't.
Slack.
Our last one, or the last one that aired from where we are currently
oh,
right now, he didn't
one.
Listen to that one, and he wasn't there for that one. So,
oh, that was the one. You should have been there. We wanted you.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, he does plug us with all his Tinder dates. Shout out to Brandon's Tinder dates.
Shout out to your Tinder dates, dude. Yeah. Keep pimping us out. Keep you know. We see you. We see you.
Too.
That's good stuff. Send us
even,
a message
even
if you are.
Even our audio engineer is pimping us out to his Tinder dates.
Are
we
you
appreciate
really?
That. Yeah, he is.
Oh.
Anyways, what have you been up to other than that?
Okay, so last night we watched a movie that everybody hated except for me.
Okay.
This is actually the second time that me and Brandon have seen this movie, but we were both drunk last time and didn't remember it.
Okay.
So I watched it again last night, and it's called All Cheerleaders Die.
Oh, dude, yes.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Of course you have.
You know
have.
What?
Of
yeah,
course
come on,
you
dude. You're talking to the one person seeing, like, every gay movie ever. Of course I've seen All Cheerleaders Die. Well, you know what? That'll be what I talk about later, because that movie's
later. You're going to talk about that? Okay. Then yeah. Fuck, I can't talk about it right now. The point...
No, you can talk... We can just get the movie out the way if you want.
Ooh, yeah. Let's talk about the All Cheerleaders Die.
Okay, can I talk about how disappointed I am?
It wasn't a good movie, right? Like,
but
it wasn't.
But
I loved it.
You love it, right? It's like a cult classic terrible film.
Because all cheerleaders died, but somehow, some way, the lesbians didn't.
The lesbians get a happy ending, and that's what's very,
kind
like...
of. It worked. It did it, yeah. Like, I'm really hoping there's a second one, because it kind of left it open-ended.
You think there's gonna? I mean,
I think that they can make a second
they
one.
They can. I don't know if they should, but
oh,
they can.
I want another shitty campy movie.
I'm totally down for another like campy cheerleader movie about low-key about gay women.
Yeah, like it was so casual how like the main actress, the main character, she's just gay. Like they never said like, oh, she's gay. Like she was just screwing chicks and that's it.
She was banging out cheerleaders. It was wonderful.
It was like, great. Yeah,
no, but I wasn't really into her girlfriend, the witchy girl.
She was a little needy, but it was very high school, like that's how
they
are.
Know, dude, but isn't like she just like a walking stereotype of a lesbian with her crystals and her like weird
what kind of lesbians
holistic
you know?
Medicine.
That's not the kind of lesbians
dude,
that I know.
There is so many like earthy lesbians out there that are all about their crystals and their vibes and their spirit and their eye and their heart chakras and shit. Like,
I mean, all I know is lesbians are really obsessed with horoscopes.
Oh God!
But
oh,
so
I learned that.
But that's it. I don't know about these crystals.
Dude, that's the next step. Like, the lesbians are heading in that direction. They're heading towards, you know, crystals. I mean, they're already there. You haven't met them yet, might they?
Thank God.
They're all over Tinder. Trust me. All those girls, they're talking about having their third eye chakra open. Girl.
I've seen, you know, now that you mentioned, I have seen it a little bit on social media. I guess that counts.
I don't think they're so open about it the way they are about their horoscopes, because I didn't find out that that was, like, something about I had to be. About their horoscope. Yo, every lesbian on Tinder had their, like...
What's your sign?
What's your sign, though? And then, like, they'd be like, oh, my God, but we're not compatible. And
oh, I'm you're like, a Leo? Why aren't you more open? I'm like, ugh. Trauma? I don't know.
Yo, Caps out here be doing people wild, because every girl I talked to and I told I was a Capricorn. Yes, okay, my current girlfriend is very into, like... See? Also, found
no, no, every single person. Every, yeah, no, I agree.
Every, like, single lesbian is super into their star sign.
I'm probably the least interested, and I'm still, like, slightly interested.
Same.
Like, but I'm still kind of like, oh, she's a fucking water sign? A water sign? Get the fuck out of here.
Wait a minute, what?
I don't
even
know.
You're a Leo. You told me
I'm
this.
A Leo, yeah.
I'm a Capricorn.
I'm still going to, like, date her, probably, but...
What kind of water sign is she? Which one is she?
Oh, no, I'm not with anybody.
Oh.
I just mean, like, in general.
You wouldn't care. Yeah, I don't give a damn either. It's, to me, it's unimportant, these star signs. Like, I mean...
Fuck Scorpios, but yeah, fuck... I mean,
oh, my God, fuck Scorpios, okay? Worst sign on Earth. Y'all can just... Well, actually, not really. My best friend's a Scorpio, so I'm talking a lot of shit. My lifelong best friend is a Scorpio, so I can't talk. And my other lifelong best friend's a Leo. I'm not supposed to get along with y'all.
What?
Yeah. Well, Capricorns and Leos aren't supposed to get along.
I guess we'll find out.
I always get along with Leos. I'm dating a Leo. My best friend's a Leo. My brother's a Leo.
Oh, that's why me and Kim get along.
Exactly. Okay. I get along with all Leos. Don't get it twisted.
Leos love Leos.
I do. I think they love me.
Like, we love each other. Like,
yeah.
We're just like, oh my God, hi.
Leos just have the
same
vibe.
It's like when dogs see other dogs. That's what Leos are like.
When we sniff each other's butts.
That's what I was about
our
to say.
Tails are, yeah, we sniff each other's butts.
Sniff each other's butts. Yeah.
Our tails wag. You know, the works. What
your
are you
ears
do?
Go up. You're like, one of us.
I'm trying to hold it there.
It's really exciting. It's really exciting when we see each other.
I think Capricorns just look at each other and give each other the stank face and keep it moving. We don't trust
Probably.
Anyone. I don't think. Anyways, how do we get into, like, this, like, we're anti
cheerleaders
star
okay,
signs?
So,
okay.
Well,
yes.
I mean, I guess we can't. We'll go into the cheerleader episode in 2 weeks for the listeners, but today we just rewatched this episode together. We never watch the things we talk about together, so this is exciting.
This
that
is
we're
exciting.
Gonna do that.
We're having, like, different perspectives.
We're in sync.
We aren't Backstreet
and
Boys.
And apostrophe is that right? And apostrophe S Y N C.
I
struggled.
Spelled it out.
I spelled
and you
it
struggled.
Out. We're in sync.
I enjoy that. I enjoy that so much. Okay.
Hey. Shut up.
So we recently watched Master of None, the Thanksgiving episode, the best
two.
Episode. The best episode
it's
of
It's a standalone
two.
Episode, so anybody can watch it anytime. It's fine.
It's the best episode.
It's
honestly
a great episode.
You can watch that, not watch the whole series, and just watch that episode and you're fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, the first season of Master of None was, like, okay.
Agreed. I it's not that it's...
I haven't even tried the second season. Like, I just watched that one episode.
You're good. You're fine.
Yeah.
There's two episodes that season you need to watch. Thanksgiving episode we're going to talk about, and the other episode where it's, like, a vignette of stories of just living in New York, being disabled, being people of color, being... people who work in the service industry who never get talked about but run New York.
Okay, I want to see that because I'm
taxi
going
drivers.
I'm going to New York, dude.
Yeah, you are going to New York soon, so that's exciting.
Well, I'll probably have already been in New York by the time this airs, but nevertheless. I'll have been in New York, and that'll be nice. I have, like, a list of things or places that I want to see, and I so far have only two things on that list.
Yeah. Go to the Guggenheim. I didn't get to go to the Guggenheim when I went.
Send me a list, because... You know, that way I can kind of do an itinerary.
Okay, cool. I will. You should get a city pass. Anyways, yeah, you got to go to the Guggenheim. I didn't get to go. I've been wanting to go since I saw Men in Black. The opening scene of Men in Black is Will Smith running through the Guggenheim with the roach, or he's chasing the roach. So it's lit.
Less than fun fact, like actually really not fun fact, mm-hmm. I don't watch anything with Will Smith in it.
Wait a minute, we need an intervention.
I don't know
even
just,
old school Will Smith.
I mean,
like,
obviously I watched Fresh Prince, and I've seen a few movies with him in it, but like like from a certain point on in like my life, I was just like, I don't want to ever see Will Smith in anything ever again. So I just stopped watching his movies.
I mean, I agree, but not. This was back in 1999, right? Like 98. It was super. This is within the time frame of which you could watch.
Will I could Smith. Have had, but then yeah, I just didn't watch it during that time period, and then I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to watch his movies, and I stopped.
You know who I really hate though?
Whom?
James Franco.
Yeah, he's annoying.
I have an irrational... Thank you! He's not a good writer.
He's not.
He's not a good writer. I've read his articles and been like, dude, this punctuation, this grammatical incorrect, that was bad sentence structure. And I'm not good at those things. And for me to actually see the faults is, like, big. Because I'm not that good of a writer for me to be noticing.
I am, and I don't like him, but it's nothing to do with his writing. I just don't like him
that much. I don't like his writing. I don't like his acting. I don't like him. He's creepy to me.
He is creepy. In general.
In general. Okay, so... We're talking about the Thanksgiving episode today, and we also want to... You wanted to bring up...
Towards the end, yeah. There's like a little bit that kind of gets left open-ended after this watching this entire episode that's important.
So what was your favorite thing about this episode?
Oh God, so much. Honestly, just the parallels to my own childhood.
Really?
Like, just all the way throughout the episode, probably, except for the end. The end is probably a little... has progressed beyond what I've gotten to in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just seeing the parallel, seeing that it's not just me.
How so? What scenes, to be exact?
God, I'm literally seeing like almost all of them, like 90% of them. I'm just kind of like,
so yep. Angela Bass, yep. Bassett, yep. Cast basically kind of having a comment about everything she's wearing, how it's not feminine.
Yeah, that, and just like, you know, think whatever, something being inappropriate in her house, and that whole line, like, where did I go wrong, like, that exact line that was used in my life, like, no, it was like literally just word for word but in Spanish.
Like, wow.
Yeah, but it's fine. Like, I liked seeing it, you know what I mean? I want to see it.
It felt good to watch an episode where
I mean I'm not like hyper butch or anything.
No, you're not. No.
But you know, but I do have that vibe, I guess. I don't know.
It's an energy.
It's still very relatable.
Yeah. I mean, neither of us are very, like, male, like, masculine presenting, but we're not exactly feminine presenting.
Yeah,
either.
I don't think either of us are wearing makeup right now.
Mine melted, so.
Oh, cool. I just, I woke up like this.
Okay. You have beautiful skin. We get it.
No, oh, no, no, no. I exfoliated yesterday, and I wore a face mask. You've already heard about this. It's pretty
good. I know, yeah. Sexy. No, what I liked a lot was that we got to see on TV someone who was masculine presenting. And in a lot of ways, it's an energy that she has with her. It's a masculine energy that she has with her in this episode, Lena Waithe. And I loved her blazers. I loved her hair and pants. I liked her alternative hairstyle. You didn't have like a weird... Yes, you did. You were like a little scene kid in high school.
I was a fucking little shit, yeah.
Yeah, you had that weird hair going on. So I can relate. I feel like now I have long hair, but I've recently been wanting to cut my hair. So
I recently did cut my hair, and that was crazy for me because I haven't cut my hair this short since I was like 9.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I've had long hair for... like a long time.
Your life.
Yeah, because, well, after, because I cut my hair really short when I was about 8 or 9 because I wanted to be a boy. I didn't want to be a boy. I wanted to be boyish, you know what I mean? I didn't want to relinquish that as I went into prepubescent times, and I was just like, ah, no, I don't want to be girly. I hate it.
Did you ever have that same feeling when you put on a dress that Lena Waithe showed in the show?
Even I feel like it was even worse. Like, they didn't portray it as harshly as I felt it, you know what I mean? Like, I hated it. I've never, ever enjoyed wearing dresses. It was the worst.
I think I agree. Like, they would force me to wear a dress for church, and then as soon as I got home, I'd take it off and put on shorts and be, like, a t-shirt. And that was up until, I'm going to say now. Like, I still, if I wear a dress to an interview, I will quickly come home, take that bitch off, and just put on, like, regular, like, sweats and just be like, okay, I'm comfortable now.
I'm pretty stoked that in the past few years that I've had in a couple of interviews, I've just been super myself. You know what I mean? Button-ups, slacks, the whole works, just super classy, but, like, not...
Still professional, but not feminine.
But not feminine. Yeah, not hyper-feminine, yeah.
I mean, there's still, like, a feminine energy that you do have, but it's not the same thing. And I feel like most lesbians that are kind of, like, in our in our range the same way.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. But, yeah, it's just, I hate dresses. But it wasn't just, like, that, even though that's super important. But I also want to talk about in the episode how they kind of compare, at the very beginning, they compare Dev and Lena Waithe's character, Denise, like, as both, they're both minorities. They both are disenfranchised. They have that comparison, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They have that conversation really early on in the episode. And I love that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like that's a talk that we always get, like, as children or just as minorities, period. And to actually see that conversation on TV is something super important.
No, but you know, the one thing that I couldn't relate to?
What?
Is her having, like, all these childhood crushes on chicks. Like, I didn't have crushes on anybody. Like, I just didn't have crushes on anybody for a really long time. Like, it was, like, blocked in my mind. It was weird.
Did you repress that shit or what?
Probably, but, like, that was the one thing. Because she's, you know, she had the posters of all these chicks on her wall. And it was probably not until my teenage years that I had, like, posters of chicks on my wall. Like, I think I had one of Kat Von D. High key regretting that.
Kat Von D was an early crush of yours?
No, it wasn't an early crush, though. What? No, it wasn't an early crush. Oh, it was a late crush, if you think about it. It was, like, in the teenage years when I was really into tattoos. Which I still am, but back then she was like this tattooed chick, and that was it. That was the only thing that I liked about her. She has tattoos, and I had these, like, you know, scantily clad, like, pictures on or posters of her, and I think my mom got pissed off about it. And I remember, like, one day looking up in my room, and I was just like, my posters are gone. My mom had, like, taken them down at some point, yeah, and I didn't even notice it for like days probably.
And she was the only poster of a girl you ever had?
That I remember.
What? Yeah. So you never had a, like, you know, mm-mm. Yo, for that. Real, like, we were really different, me and you.
but you knew pretty early on. I didn't know for a very long time.
Yeah, let's talk about that. When did you know? For the peeps.
I would say it's definitely my freshman year of high school. It literally took me liking somebody, like, legitimately liking somebody for me to figure it out. And that was 14 years old, freshman year.
I think I was the same. I think I was like 15 when I found out about myself too. I mean, I always knew, but I didn't know what to call it. And once I knew what to call it, it was like a derogatory word.
Yes. So. Okay. So let's talk. We can talk about that too. I've recently seen a couple of people, and I think even in that episode, they don't say lesbian. They say gay, or she says gay. She's like, "Mom, I'm gay." She doesn't say, "Mom, I'm a lesbian." There's such a negative connotation. That comes with that word.
With lesbian or gay?
Lesbian.
True, because I don't use it to express myself.
I don't like the word either.
I don't like the word. And I use queer or gay.
Yeah, queer or gay. And the way I see it, I think it has to do with, like, the fact when you say somebody is gay, like, it's different from saying somebody is a lesbian. Like, if you are a lesbian, like, that's your entire identity. If you are gay, it's just like an adjective. Catch-all. It's like an adjective, you know what I mean?
I'm happy.
That too, yeah. So I don't know,
like it's maybe generational, because most people my age don't call themselves a lesbian. They're like, yeah, I'm gay, I like girls. That's how, but I'm not speaking for everyone I know, but I'm saying for a lot of people, the way they express themselves and identify themselves is either queer, like I call myself queer, but you know, it's just a catch-all phrase I use. But
yeah,
if
it's an umbrella term now, but even when I was a teenager, you know what I mean, using the word lesbian, that was always difficult. Like, even now, I'm just like, the word has a weird vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's almost like derogatory.
Yeah, I don't use it at all. Like, when someone calls me a lesbian, I feel a little weird about it. I'm like, I'm gay, bro. Like, bro, which is just gay. It's the same damn thing. Fuck out of here. But there's nothing wrong with people who identify being lesbian. That's totally cool. I am one, but I don't.
We don't use the word.
I don't label myself. I don't know.
That's just a really interesting thing to look at sometimes, because I don't know how it got brought to my attention that lesbian has a weird negative connotation, that people don't like using it, and that, you know, I always felt weird using it as opposed to gay or queer.
I don't know. And maybe it's just the way that people have always said that word to me.
You're negatively. A lesbian. Yeah, like, it's like, it's
I'm
negative.
Gay, bro. Chill out. Like, like, I don't know how else to come up with a different phrase for that. It's just,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's there's something probably deep in the history that we should know.
Yeah.
But it's a hard word to say.
What about that conversation that Lena Waithe had with her mom at like Denny's or whatever IHOP, I don't know what it was,
where she just straight up walked in there looking like the lesbianest lesbian of all time. And her mom's just like, you're what?
You're aware?
You're a huh?
What do you mean you don't like boys? And it's like, really? Have you seen
your
daughter?
She's just like, is there something you're trying to tell me? Like, what do you think I'm trying to tell you? Like, are you... She even said it like herself. She's like, I'm annoyed that I have to have this conversation with you.
I mean, I feel like everyone... I feel like I did that. I feel that's how I presented myself too. Like, I never was very feminine. And my mom knew before I told her. So I just kind of was. I just kind of walked around and... Mom, this is who I am. I like to wear pants and t-shirts.
So what made you want to eventually say the words?
What do you mean? What made me want to come out?
Yeah, like, actually say it, even though you knew that she knew, and she knew that you knew that she knew.
I was just going through, like, a rough time in my life, and I just needed, like, a hug from my mom.
So you just had to tell her, like, hey, this happened to me?
And yeah, this happened, and I need a hug, you know? And she was very cool about it. Like, when I came out, it was after I just got out of, like, a 6-year relationship, and I told her. I was like, oh, yeah, me and so-and-so broke up. And, you know, she didn't mention anything about the gay part. She was just like, wow, you guys were together for a long time.
Yeah.
Those were her words to me after I told her, you know, I dated a girl for 6 years. She was just like, that's cool.
That's
she's like,
sucks.
Come, she was like, cool. Come here. She's no, not it's cool. She was like, oh, my God, what happened? She gave me a hug, and that's really all I needed was a hug. So my experience, I understand, is extremely different from a lot of people's experience. Yeah. My mom was just like, cool. I think they Googled videos on how to handle your kid being gay. Like, no lie. They went on YouTube and watched a bunch of videos and like, what do you do when your daughter's gay? Like, and here I am. So,
you know, after that conversation that she had with her mom, she went up to like the aunt, or she was talking to her, you know, I guess the mom was talking to her sister.
To the Thea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aunt Joyce or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, should I have spent more time with her? I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, you know what I mean? She grew up in a household, like a matriarchy, you know? It was like the grandma, it was the mom,
women.
The aunt. It was nothing but women. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was just such a weird comment for her to say. Like, I should have spent more time with you.
Like, that would have made any kind of difference. Like, spending time with your daughter.
I promise you, my mom spent no time with me. I'm still gay.
What? That's so fucked up.
It doesn't make a difference.
Oh my God, I love it though. That's so well. What else did you really like about or relate to in this episode?
When Lena Waithe's character Denise was talking about how it's different to come out in like I guess in a black family, and it's kind of it related a lot to a Mexican family because
religion.
She was talking about religion, yes, but also like the fact that you kind of see your children, seeing your children as trophies or whatever. Like, okay, they did this, they do that, they always brag on you. So then if you come out and that becomes part of your identity, they can't brag on that. You know what I mean? Like, they can't go around bragging about it.
Oh yeah, my daughter's gay.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things that's just not talked about.
That's true.
So that I related to a lot.
No,
because my mom
true.
Is just like, any little failure that comes from me or my brothers or whatever, it's such a big deal because it affects her because we're her trophies.
That's kind of true, but I feel like my mom kind of, because she's older, she's probably past that stage in her life where she sees us as extensions of herself and she understands that we're just people. And it's just because she's in a very different stage. Like, how old is your mom?
She's like 50, about to be 51.
51? Yeah, my mom's going into her 70s.
Yeah, so there's definitely a difference there. Yeah. That's a big difference too. Like, you get older. So my mom was, you know, kind of young technically, you know what I mean, whenever I was growing up and being a rebellious teen and stuff like that. So I guess it's different the way she sees me.
Still as an extension of herself instead of as an individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think just her whole outlook on life was a little different.
Yeah, and it's weird because my mom's older. She was from a way older generation in a way different time, but...
But being older, you know, you're also kind of like, you know what matters.
Yeah, you're kind of done with the bullshit.
Yeah, you're done. You realize that showing off your kids or doing this or that or limiting them or whatever way isn't going to help them.
It's just whack.
It's not
going to
help you.
It's super whack. It's like, wait, that's not cool. My kid's a person. Like,
let me not use them or see them as... an excuse. I don't know, but I mean the fact that she had to go through that as well and kind of feel that responsibility to her parents, I related to that a lot.
I feel like a lot of kids feel that way generally, and I feel like especially like people of color or immigrants, you know, anyone kind of already on the margins, like how she explained at the beginning of the episode, like, you have to work twice as hard, you're a woman. And then she, when she came out and said she was gay, she was like, well, that's another thing.
And you're gay.
Like, and you're gay.
Your life's going to be so much harder.
Yeah.
See, I never had that conversation with my with my mom or my family or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a really important topic for them to bring up, because you already are disenfranchised just by the color of your skin.
Yep.
And by your anatomy, you're a woman. You know what I mean? And then
Shrek 2.
Bam, you're gay.
Shrek 3, you're gay.
You just, that's like 3 out of the 4. Yeah, you know, you're not trans. That's all you got left.
Or disabled.
Or disabled, yeah.
Disabled. I think that's one of the fears that when I came out, or just me being gay, not even me coming out, just one of their worries in general for my parents. And it was weird. I came out, and maybe like later that year, Pulse happened. And I remember them talking to me about that. That was one of their fears. Is
so they knew, they actually heard about like that whole event.
Oh yeah, they woke me up and they're like, "You need to."
Dude, my mom has never mentioned it to me. I don't know if she even heard about it. I don't know anything. And I've never told her to this day that I was there. Not that night, obviously, but I went to that club.
You were at Pulse?
I went to Pulse.
When?
About a year before that happened.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, like, because I was in Austin, I think, at the time, and then I came home the next day, and I'd heard about it. And then one of my friend who I went with, we were in Orlando, and we went there, and I took him for the first time. Remember Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tony from an episode or two ago, I don't know. But he had just turned, like, I don't know, of 18 or 19 or something like that, but he'd never been to a gay club before, and we were in Orlando, and I was like, I gotta take him somewhere, right? I have to take him to his first gay club. So I took him to his first gay club, and we had like done some research, and we found Pulse, and it was like Latin night. It was Saturday night, and it was beautiful. And we went there, and we had like the most amazing time that I could have possibly imagined.
Really?
It was such a fucking beautiful place. And then like a year later or 2 years later, it was less than 2 years later, but over a year, we heard that news, and like he messaged me that next day, and he's just like, it's Pulse. We went there, and I was just like, fuck. And I was broken that entire day, dude. I've never felt like that about people that I didn't know. You know what I mean?
See, for me, it's same, like, not that I went to Pulse, but I feel like in Dallas we have our own place. It's called Havana's, and
yeah,
that's
it. Kind of had that vibe for sure. Like, it was a little bigger than Havana, but it was their Havana, and it was, you know what I mean? Like, that would be devastating. Like, these are people that we would have known. You know what I mean? Like, these are people that are brown.
I mean, last time we went, you and my girlfriend were like, oh, her. Like, you guys were pointing at people and naming them. And I'm just sitting there like, you guys know everyone in this club. In fact, these are regulars. I see them every time I come here, too. And to imagine that to happen to Havana's, that would break my heart. Because that's one of the first, like, it's one of the few places where I feel safe to express,
like,
my...
Like, 100%, like, you're not the minority.
Yeah. Like
Latino, people are gay, and that's
it. And if people fight you there at the club because it's kind of ratch, it's because you stole someone's girl or spilled a drink on someone's face.
And that doesn't happen very much anymore.
It's not because you're gay. It's definitely not because you're gay. You're going to get, you're going to get into a fight over something stupid, but not because you're gay. And you're not going to get hit on by creepy dudes at all.
Yeah, you have, it's a good time. It's a safe place. You know what I mean? It's super, yeah, super safe. Like, it kind of made me rethink all of what I loved about clubbing, because, you know, partying and stuff like that, I'd always loved it or whatever, but I never realized like the difference between just going and partying and then going and partying there. It was like,
yeah, I don't like going to straight places, no offense. Like, I don't like straight bars. I don't like bars, but if I'm gonna go out, I will go to Havana's, just because Havana's just because it's the only place I feel like I'd not weird.
That, yeah, and I can definitely see how Pulse is that, or was that, for people, and then when that happened, and it's just, I don't know, it's fucked up.
Yeah, but it's the first time, like, you see someone on TV say it. Well, not first time, but a person of color say it, and, you know, like, hey, this is just a fear I have on top of everything else going on. You know, because they were talking about social injustice at Thanksgiving table. Like, I do the same thing in my family dinners. We talk about social
injustice. We don't do that quite as much. Oh. See, as I'm telling you, like, these are all these things that I could be having a conversation with my family about, or, you know, like, the Pulse thing, I could have told them about that and my fears and stuff like that and my feelings, but I didn't get to have that conversation with them. I didn't have that conversation actually with anyone, except for maybe a little bit with Tony and maybe a little bit with Cordarian, and that's because they, you know, they cared about that kind of stuff, but then when it came to other people that were in my life, that were even with me that day, they just didn't understand how close it hits a home, you know what I mean? They were just like, oh, let's go do this. I'm like, no, I can't even fucking breathe today. I can't. Yeah. I don't know, so.
I was pretty spaced out, like, that whole week. I don't think I allowed myself to cry.
I went to work, and it was the most eerie thing. Like, how can these people just move on with their lives? It was really difficult.
Yeah, I spaced out, like, emotionally for that whole week. I wasn't. The feelings were not happening. Yeah, none of that shit.
You got to close it out. I didn't close it out, dude. It was there for me the whole time.
What?
Like the feeling, you know what I mean? Like, because you, when it comes to grieving and stuff like that, you do close yourself. You know, that's a part of grieving sometimes is closing yourself off to the feelings. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't close myself off. Oh, wow. It was there the whole time. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's something we go through, like that fear. And we didn't ever really get to discuss it during Pride Month.
Yeah, we didn't get to.
We're bad queers, we're man. Really Look bad. At us. Like, it's like July now, and now we're like, oh, let's talk about it.
But yeah. Still, I mean, it's you know,
that Nancy podcast was super amazing on it.
Oh yeah, Nancy did a fantastic episode on it.
We love them. Shout out to them every time.
But at the same time, you know, June is not the only month that we can talk about these issues.
Oh no, like,
we can talk about this all year long. Yeah. So
I mean, that's what we are.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm like our whole podcast is pretty. Much talking about queer stuff at all times. What are you gonna do? I'm pretty sure we had a couple of episodes air in June that were pretty gay. It's fine.
Yeah, every episode's gay. But yeah, so back to
like social justice being talked about in queer communities. I know it's a little bit different with you, but on their, you know, at their kitchen table and then at my family's kitchen table, like social justice and being Democrat and doing all this, it's only up to an extent. Like if you really think about it, or if I really think about it with my family, they're really more conservative than anything. The only reason that they end up voting Democrat or whatever ends up being because there's assholes like Trump, you know what I mean, like that are trying to build these walls and say really racist shit. But then like when it comes to traditional marriage, they're all for that.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. So like,
they're anti-abortion.
Anti-abortion, yeah, and then like, they love religion.
They love religion.
So it's like, yeah, you're liberal to
a point.
They don't
want to pay for anything ever.
Yeah, they're just like, what the fuck do I have to pay for these other people's? Yeah,
even though they benefit from that shit too, they still don't pay for anything.
They're liberal and they're gonna vote Democrat and they're gonna do all that, but you know,
their values aren't actually liberal.
Yeah, their values are closer to conservatives.
Yeah,
and so that's an interesting thing.
A lot of Latinos are like that. The only reason they don't is because of the anti-Latino thing happening with the Republican Party. So they tend to vote.
So it'll be really cool if, you know, in the next few years, they can kind of realize that they're doing that. You know what I mean? Like realize that it's Latinos, their struggle is similar to the queer struggle, to the black struggle, to all these struggles, and not just think of themselves.
That's a long way to go.
You'd be surprised. I was in Mexico recently, and even in Mexico, like not just here, Mexicans here in the United States, but Mexicans in actual Mexico are opening up and seeing queer people as people and shit like that, that they should. So, you know what I mean? Like, hopefully that transcends borders.
I mean, you know, Mexico City's had legalized marriage for a minute. Way longer than the United States.
My family is all from northern Mexico, though. They're as far as possible as the EFE as they can be. And
they're
at least the younger generation within my Mexican family, like, they are all coming on up.
That's good. I mean, it's the younger generations that are going to pull everyone forward. So lit. Hopefully they make it happen. But, we totally went on a interesting tangent there.
Yeah. Well, it all kind of relates back to the episode, though, because I'm telling you, it relates back so much. At least, I don't know. My favorite part of, like, the episode in general, though, even though I've already said my favorite part.
What, nipples and toes 23?
No. That was hilarious.
I thought it was nipples and toes 23.
I hope I never go through that.
Do that phase of dating Instagram thoughts?
Yeah.
It happens. It's okay.
No, but at the end, because, you know, like, the other girl comes back,
Michelle,
and gets along with the family. Michelle. Like, it's total 100%. It gets better vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gets better. And then, like, that's like, the whole vibe that it gives you at the very end, where it's just, like, everybody's happy, and the grandma's just like, yep, and it's fine.
Another one of my favorite things was the fact that two people of color were best friends, male and female, straight and gay. I love that, because that parallels my own, like childhood, my best friend being black and me being like a little gay Latina girl, yeah. being at his house on Christmas and him bringing me around, introducing me to everyone. It felt very realistic to me because I felt like that's the way the real world works, is that your best friend is black, your best friend is this little Mexican girl, you know, and you bring her to Thanksgiving, you bring her to Christmas, and you interact with the family, and they're just used to you. Like, my best friend Denzel and me, like, we just grew up like that. Like, that was our reality. The way their relationship was the same relationship between me and Denzel. And so it felt very comforting to watch two people who seemingly on the surface look different, seem different, but they're totally the same. They're from the same place. They understand the same things. And that That's was awesome. Really important to me just because from where I came from and how I grew up. So I thought that was very important and interesting to watch as two people of color, best friends, different ethnicities, growing up and just living that reality. So it felt really good to me to see that because that was my experience.
I didn't have that exact experience, but like when she came out to Aziz Ansari's character, Dev, that was super relatable because I kind of had that moment. That's how I realized, actually. I didn't actually come out. It was just like sitting there and I didn't know it, but I'd fallen for a chick. And I was sitting there with my best friend, who is this like Mexican guy that I didn't know at the time, but is also queer. And I was just like telling him about like, damn, I have all these weird things. Like every single time that I see this girl, like I get really happy, or like it's all I think about. You know what I mean? Like I was explaining like the literal fucking definition of like
a crush.
Falling for somebody. And I was just like, I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, I don't know. This is really weird. Like I've never, you know, felt like that way about a friend. And then he's just like, dude. He's like, I think his almost exact words, it's been like 10 years, so I don't know, but almost exact words were like, dude, you're in love with her. And I was just sitting there like, no, wait. fucking, I was Baba Shook.
Oh, you right.
Like, I think, like, my jaw literally dropped in that moment. And I was just like, fuck. It was true.
Feelings, what the fuck is this for?
Never right? felt these before. Really, like, literally had never felt that.
Look at Maite, little Maite in love.
It was weird.
Oh, adorable.
But it was, what was weirder, or I don't know, maybe a little unique for my situation, was that somebody else had to tell me, like, dude, you're in love. And I was just sitting there like, huh?
Okay.
What?
Say what? No, I think we both went through that. But I went through it, like, when I was in college. How old were you?
Realizing that you were gay?
No, realizing I was in love with someone and someone else had to tell me.
Well, for me, like, they were one and the same. It was just like, just like I'd realized I'd fallen for somebody, and then I was just like, shit, it's a chick.
Oh, shit, what am I'm I supposed in love to with do a girl. About
that? Yeah. So it was like double the confusing feelings.
I was in love with a straight girl, so same shit.
I mean, the girl weren't had you? A boyfriend at the time.
Weren't you, like, into a straight girl?
Well, I thought she was straight, and then she wasn't.
We've all been there. Let's just say that. That's another episode. Straight girls.
Typically the girls that I fall for, they are straight to everybody else, and then they're not straight. But anyways,
yeah. So it gets better let's talk about what would Maite do. How would you change
this episode?
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
Perfect.
I think it was, you could tell, you can 100% tell, like, that was her experience, and it was mostly taken from her life, you know what I mean?
Like, I would give it like 5 pan dulces. Like, if you don't want to watch any of this series, don't just watch that episode.
Just watch that. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Lena Waithe, you're a hero.
Butch representation, like, or I guess stud representation, whichever label you want to use for it. Like, the more masculine side of like the lesbians.
Yeah, but she's like a cool stud. Like, some studs out here just wearing cargo shorts and you just tacky. Okay. I'm like, honey, get your style up. Like, you can't be looking like a mom and you're only 20-something. Like, not like a 50-year-old man. Get your style up. Just watch Lena Waithe and get your style up. Like,
no, style goals. She did it. She was fantastic.
She's style goals for sure. Like,
she looked great and she acted great and her story was amazing.
I love everything about her.
Is the point. But it was really important, I think, to show her, like, her story, you know what I mean? To show, like, a butch woman coming up. Like, I don't know. I think there's not very much, when it comes to lesbian representation on screen, they're not masculine, typically.
No.
Like, off the top of my head, it's that one, and then there's the movie Dope. And that was super low-key. That was super low-key representation of a woman, especially a woman of color who is, like, more masculine.
True that. And they both were Stalin as far.
And they deserve it as much as, like, little in-betweens like you and me deserve it.
I mean, are we anywhere either? Other than Ellen Page? Like, like, I think she's the only person I think is another in-between that's, like, mainstream is Ellen Page. Who else?
I don't know. Can you think of someone who's Rose?
Like, huh?
Ruby Rose, maybe.
Oh,
basically, the only other butch representation that I can think of is like all the, or like a lot of the girls in Orange Is the New Black.
True, true, true.
But that's sad that it's kind of limited to that one show. That one show kind of makes up for the representation of a lot of stuff that is underrepresented, period.
People of color, marginalized people,
gay people.
Gay people.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is basically butch representation matters. Like,
butch representation matters. It we does. Love y'all.
Or stud representation, or you know, I don't
just,
know what.
Just dress better, there's many. That's all.
Yeah, stud, I mean, but that's not just studs though. Like everybody needs to kind of dress better.
Everyone
we can't
better.
We can't limit that to them. That's not fair. Nevertheless,
I don't know. I feel like they could be super swaggy, but
I'm totally here for more.
Some of them
for
aren't
more.
Swaggy. And I'm like, yo, get
we're seeing
that,
more
come
of them on screen.
We can both be swaggy out here. Come on. I don't like to use that word. Why did I just use that word?
Did
I hate
you say
that
swaggy?
Word. I did just say swaggy, dude. I never say that in my life. Like, that is the first two times I've said that since I've known myself. So it's like,
everybody, all of that? Every single last one of you listening right now, be more stylish.
Be please. More stylish, por favor.
Dress well.
Yo, all Ross be popping, okay? Marshalls be popping.
And most importantly,
Forever 21, Target, popping.
Forever 21.
Do whatever you gotta do in the men's section, girl. Make it pop. Make it work. I can't talk. I'm wearing like a t-shirt and fucking Vans. Like, I dress like a fucking...
I actually wore
I dress like a teenage
today.
Boy. Huh?
I said I actually wore boots today, but I have my Vans like right over here.
I dress like a teenage boy. I don't even care. I own that
teenage
shit.
Teenage boys wish that they look like... No, they don't.
No. Is short, chubby lesbian? I don't know. You know what? They do wish they look like me. Shout out to me. No, I'm but yeah, today we just really wanted to talk about...
That entire episode.
That entire episode. Watch it, change your life.
And then randomly got really emotional about Pulse nightclub.
Literally everything else. But that's what's important. We love y'all. Rate us on
iTunes. Okay, so... I barely found out how to rate somebody on iTunes. Yeah, I didn't. I always looked for the fucking stars and I couldn't find them anywhere. So apparently, you literally had to go to that page and then go to their reviews and then put write a review and then you can put the 5 stars or however many you want stars or even leave them a review. But you have to go fake leave them a review. I didn't know that. So now that you all know that, go do that with us.
Rate us, but only 5 stars.
We're Audio Boom, Stitcher, iTunes, whichever one you're listening to.
Find us
right now.
Twitter at CYC Podcast.
And on Instagram.
And on Instagram at CYC Podcast.
And email us with any concerns that you want
questions,
to be
concerns.
Leave private. CYC Podcast.
If you have a question,
mail.
We might read it out loud. If you have a. If you want to cuss us out, we might read that all out too. I'm totally down.
I'm down for that, yeah. Down. CYC Podcast.
We
mail.
Need to improve. We're down for it.
At gmail.com.
Our audio engineer wants to read it out loud. You can read it out loud. We'll allow you. We'll allow this man to come
but
into
we do,
our queer space.
We allow,
no, we love you. We love you.
We allow DMs.
We fucking love you.
As well.
You're our favorite. So it's
And then Fried Papita is Fried Papita, of course.
And at Maite Pandy is at... Pandy. And Maite Panda is Maite Panda. And we are... I'm your favorite cabrona.
I'm your least favorite chingona.
You're my favorite chingona. Shush.
I am Fried Papita's favorite chingona.
There we go. Shout out to that. But yeah... We love y'all, and check for us next time.
Yeah, let's
yeah.
Do
you
it.
Have
all
anything
right,
to add,
cool.
Maite? Do you want to add anything?
I feel like I did, but I forgot, so it's fine.
Okay. We love y'all.
Bye.
Peace out.